cool.
Yeah, in your headphones, yeah. No Jailbreak, coolest podcast in the world. And today, we're in here, 24K Golden. How you doing, man?
I'm having an excellent day.
Are you?
I'm having a great day.
So you're kind of like a child of No Jumper, you were saying. You used to watch this in high school and stuff. Yeah. I love hearing that.
I was in the first ever live stream that you did, like when it was like $25.
First ever?
Yeah, I was running that shit up.
Whoa, that's crazy, because I remembered the name from that. And when I was looking at your Instagram, I saw like old DM or a mention in the story or whatever. And I was like, man, I remember that, but I didn't know it was that long ago. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's probably like 2 or 3 years ago. So it's just kind of like everything's coming full circle now.
Wow. Small world.
Yeah.
And that's what I was thinking too, because like I've always had my little like list in my head, because like Juice WRLD was on there before it blew up, YBN, Namir, Megan, etc. And
Megan Thee Stallion?
Yeah. I don't know if she's the one who sent it in or if it was like somebody who was managing her or something like that. I say that only because I have a hard time picturing Megan Thee Stallion sitting on my live stream. And that, like, it could have happened, you know? Might have just been a little thing she decided to do, but it's just weird.
She fucked with anime and stuff, though, so I feel like she'd be into that, like, internet culture, kind of know what's going on.
Yeah, that is weird that she's, like, anime head and that she, you know, she's probably, like, we all look at her and we sort of, like, paint her as just being this, like, sexy jet setter, but, I mean, she was, like, a college student up until, like, a few months ago and
facts.
Shit.
Yeah, facts.
So, yeah, hit us with your story. Tell us about where you're coming from and everything.
Yo, all you viewers out there in the universe, aliens, whoever might be watching right now. I'm from San Francisco, California. Mm-hmm. And it all really started, well, depends who you ask. If you ask my mom, she would tell you, like, when I was a kid, I used to carry around this yellow bucket on my head and just, like, chopsticks and just, like, play drums everywhere.
Oh, okay.
But from there, like, I always had a passion in music. So it was like choir in middle school, and then in sophomore year of high school, my like big bro, my OG Paperboy, he had this sneaker store that was like 3 blocks away from my house, and I was a huge sneakerhead. I got the Yeezy One Zens on right now.
Those are looking futuristic.
Sneakerheads out there.
You're not gonna lick the sole?
I'll do it right now.
Don't. who was that that went viral for doing it back in the day? Was it Fat Joe? Fat Joe.
Like all the 11s,
but it was fresh out the box. So, I mean, that's a little
different. I was walking around in the rain all day. I was just kidding. Yeah. I can't do that.
No, that'd be disgusting, yeah.
But he like took me under his wing on just some sneaker shit. And then sophomore year of high school, he was like, yo, we have a studio upstairs. If you want to make music and like get popping at school, we can do that. Mm. And I was like, fuck yeah. Like, what high schooler doesn't want to do that?
Yeah.
And it just kind of was like a snowball effect. The more music I made, the better it got. The better it got, more people wanted to hear it. And the more that people wanted to hear it, the more I wanted to make it.
Right.
And like, I'm an entrepreneur at heart. So I kind of just was like, all right, this is the same thing as selling a product, except I'm the product.
Yeah, that is weird. Once you start to realize that like all content, whether it's an interview or a song or whatever, it all has a value. It all can be marketed and it can all have revenue streams formed around it. And that the most successful companies in the world, like take a Disney, they're basically just producing a shitload of content and then monetizing that content in a variety of ways, whether it's building a theme park to monetize Mickey Mouse and Harry Potter, or a fucking, you know, a t-shirt that they're selling for like $4 at Toys R Us with like a children's character on it. It's like same exact thing as a rapper. It's like if you make a song, that song could go on a commercial, that song could go on Spotify, it can go Apple Music, and play a show based around it. You could sell it to a TV show and they could use it for their theme song. You know, it's crazy to think about.
Yeah, it's just like so many different, it really is a business. It's just so many different ways. And I think like it kind of makes it complicated when it's a person, you know, a real life person, because as a brand, you're supposed to have these certain values and stuff like that. But that might not necessarily be true to who you are as a person.
Right.
And that's why I think like a lot of artists don't really last, because, you know, what's done in the dark is going to come to light.
Right.
And eventually, like who you truly are is gonna show. And if it doesn't match up with the picture that you've been painting of yourself for the past X amount of years, people aren't gonna fuck with that.
But so you started making a lot of music and got really into it, but what did you feel like you had a vision that you wanted to put out there into the world, or did you just want the end result of being famous and rich? What was your mentality?
Nah, bro, I love the process of this shit. Like every day waking up and making music is that's why I do this. And then it's like even stuff like this, I know a lot of artists hate interviews, hate doing promo days and having to answer the same questions and talk to people that they don't know, but it's like I love to tell my story, you know, like we get to have a cool ass conversation.
Yeah.
Millions of people out there are going to check it out and like hopefully learn something or like laugh, you know. I love all the grind of this and I know that everything else is going to come regardless.
Yeah, it's all part of it, because I mean some rappers get into that mentality of like, oh, interviews are just an annoyance, but the best rappers or certain rappers are able to take the media platforms and then use those media platforms to get bigger, to get people to pay attention to different stuff. Like, I remember when I first heard Jay-Z saying a song, he was like just listing off a couple of things and he just goes, and my interviews are hotter.
Yeah, facts.
And he was right, because every time he did an interview, he would drop some fucking bombshell that made it so everybody had to talk about his new source interview or whatever it was. And that to me is the way to think of it. I know a whole bunch of people that basically have careers because they do DJ Vlad interviews.
Yeah, that's facts. DJ, because DJ Vlad talks about like the juicy shit that like not everyone wants to talk about.
He'll frame you the way that he wants to. You know, he'll make your story like if your story is I'm all about peace and love and shit, he's gonna be like, nah, you shot a guy in 98. Let's talk about it. But he opens the doorway to like if you have a podcast, you have music, you have your own YouTube channel, you could go on his shit regularly and do his shit and talk about what he wants to talk about, and maybe it'll help blow up your shit, you know?
Yeah, everybody, you know, there's a different way of moving depending on the type of artist you want to be. Me, I'm trying to be on my, like, Will Smith shit. Like, music is just the beginning, bro. I'm trying to do movies, fucking film, stand-up comedy. I'm trying to have my own skincare line, become the, like, male face of, like, hygiene.
Hygiene in general. That's how clean you feel?
Yeah, I'm clean, bro.
That's good though. Hygiene. Yeah, that's an unexplored niche right there. I was just seeing some people laughing at the fucking Lil Yachty Old Spice on the shelf in Walgreens on Twitter. And I was like, man, that shit's kind of hard. You can't lie.
I didn't even know that. So is Lil Yachty like the new Old Spice man?
I don't even think it's new. I think it's almost kind of like old from like last year or something. But yeah, they had like an Old Navy or a Old Spice Lil Yachty flavor or whatever. I mean, hey. It's actually really funny for me. I was just like an older cat because I remember when like the Roots or I think it was the Roots were getting killed for doing a Coca-Cola commercial.
And now
everybody. Nobody's saying no to the Coca-Cola commercial now.
I'll be the face of Axe just for all the middle school nostalgia.
Right?
Sixth grade locker rooms. It's like fucking somebody like set off like a chemical weapon in there.
Yeah. And I mean, you're getting paid for it. But then at the same time, they're helping you blow up your brand with a market that is basically your market.
Yeah.
You know, people who are like concerned about sweating their asses off are usually like teenage boys, and those are who listen to rap. Fuck
facts.
It.
Yeah, facts.
When did this song, Valentino, come into the fold? Like, how long did it take before you ended up cooking that up? Was that after you signed or what?
So I was making music for like maybe 2.5 years, just, you know, independently, you know, just learning everything I can with the resources I had in the Bay. And I wrote this song at the beginning of like 2018, so damn near 2 years ago. I was a senior in high school, just next to my computer writing it, paid $35 an hour to go to the studio, recorded it, mixed it. And as soon as I stepped out the booth, the engineer was like, yo, I'm just letting you know right now, like, this is the best song you've ever made, like,
really?
So far. Yeah, like, hold on to this one. This is a special one. And I really took that advice to
you
heart.
You believed it?
Yeah, I believed it. And because I just, like, hearing that compared to all my old stuff, like, even Ballin' Like Sharif, that's the first song I would say where I found my sound. But this was the second song where I really, like, honed in on it. So I just held on to it and would tease it on Instagram, like, once a month until I got signed last year. And then they put this out as a first single. And even after that, it still took 7 months for it to really come into fruition.
So you had that kind of fucking weird period where it's like you felt like the song definitely was a hit, but you just had to keep pushing it and pushing it. And were you like getting frustrated along the way?
I mean, I got close to dropping it a couple of times. Thank God I didn't. It's like, you don't want to like blow your shit before it's time, you know?
Right.
And it's like, once you sign with the label, it's like a whole machine behind you versus just doing it yourself. Me being a high school kid, all my money is from finessing, trapping, and commercial acting.
Right.
And that was like, nothing compared to everything that the label has behind it to push.
Because everybody has this fantasy in their head that you make a great song and you put it on SoundCloud and then all of a sudden it becomes massive. It does happen from time to time. But I mean, being a little bit closer to the inside, like for you even seeing them work one song, you're kind of like, oh shit, this is like not a fair advantage. Like, this is like, but at the same time, if they're pushing a song that's not good or that's not going to do anything, it's not going to do anything.
It's just a waste of money. It's just fucking you up.
It's just, it might help get you a little famous, but ultimately if the song's not catching on, it's not catching on.
But what's crazy to me is that like the biggest moment for this song was, it was like the end of August, right? I just got my wisdom teeth out. Have you got yours out?
I did. God, that was
painful.
It
sucks, right?
Horrible.
And you can't do shit except lay in bed for like hours all day. So I was going through TikTok and they put the song Valentino on TikTok a couple months before.
Right.
And I was just refreshing it. And I was like, all right, 10,000 videos a couple hours later, 11,000 videos a couple hours later, 13. And it just kept going. And I hit this lady at the label, Rachel. I'm like, yo, like, this is just blowing up right now. And it turns out there was this girl, Aviva Sophia, that had like made like a little e-girl like dance to go with it, and she made that part of her brand. So like as she was growing up, she would keep doing videos with the song in like these different outfits. Like one was a nurse, one was a police officer, and then it just exploded. And at the same time, that same week, they put Ballers, they put Valentino in Ballers, the rock show, and it was just like the perfect like mix of everything, and just blew. Yeah,
that's crazy. I would love to know how many people Shazammed that song.
A lot.
Yeah, they probably the label probably knows. They probably get that information from Shazam or whatever. But I mean, that to me is kind of shit. If I had time right now, I might look through my Shazams. It might be on there. It might have been a moment where I did it.
It might be.
Because sometimes you just hear a song, you just want to know what it is fucking bad. And it's like, that's just such a, like, I think when you look through your Shazams, that's what you really like.
Because like, I have no idea what this is, but something in my soul is telling me I need to know what this is and hear it again.
But the thing is, too, if you look through my Shazam, there's almost no rappers, because almost most rappers who are like significant, I already know about them, you know? But it's like a lot of old rock songs and shit, because I hear that, I'll be like, ooh, I love that fucking song, but I have no clue.
Did you ever make music?
No.
Did you ever think about making music?
Yeah. I was in like a hardcore band for like a week in high school.
What's a hardcore band?
Like a bunch of idiots yelling and scream playing guitar or whatever. I mean, like throughout high school, I might have done like three or four like band practices. And I guess like when I was like 12, I kind of wanted to be a rapper, but
yeah.
I never even went as far as like writing a rap down. I just would like think about it.
Just think about it. Just vision.
Yeah. I'm just glad that I had the good sense not to do that.
I think, I don't know, if you did like an Adam 22 project and just like had all your rapper friends hop on shit, that would go.
Sometimes when somebody comes out with like a really like simple but catchy type of flow, it makes me want to rap like that. Like when I first heard TJX6,
yeah,
or when I first heard like Splurge, and I was like, oh my god, I could rap exactly like that. Yeah. That would be so funny.
That's it.
You know, you could do it. It's like a possibility. It's always out there.
Thanks.
So yeah, now that you're like fucking signed and everything, so what's it been like watching the song blow up all around you and shit? Do you just all of a sudden start getting crazy opportunities, travel, all that kind of shit?
Yeah, exactly, bro. It's just like I was in college like last year. I got a full scholarship to USC for business,
right?
And that's how I got to LA and was able to like kind of maneuver here, because I was just riding it off the doing good in high school type of shit.
That's smart.
And like 3 months in, 4 months in, that's when I signed. And I'm like, I feel like I'm like Hannah Montana on some shit, you know? Daytime, I gotta go to classes and do these essays. Nighttime, I'm doing shows, I'm in the studio and stuff like that. And second semester comes around, and it's like midterms, and I do my business midterm. I finish in like 20 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I don't even wanna be here. Like, this is kind of just a waste of my time. So I drop all my classes except for one class, because you still have to take one class to get the scholarship. And I'm living at school for free. I'm eating there for free. I'm talking to all these cute girls for free.
But
so
how
like,
long until they figure out that you're only going to one class? Because aren't they gonna be like, hey, that's not valid?
Nah,
it was cool.
It was valid, yeah.
I thought when you got a scholarship that it was like you had to really follow all these rules and shit.
I mean, I don't know, man. I'm just like a master finesser.
Damn, that is a finesse.
That is a super. And then I got to go to Japan for free too, because that was the one class that I was taking.
Really?
So yeah, shout out
to Tokyo.
Yeah,
it's
I got my first tattoo out there too. This shit
Ooh,
was crazy.
Look at that.
Like some old Yakuza. Japanese dude. Yeah.
Let's get it.
Oh, this camera. All right, fine. Thank you, Laura.
Shout out to Laura. Don't offer him a Bud Light. You know she tried to give Blueface a Bud Light.
Well, why is that? What's wrong with that? It's blue.
I know. I think that's why she thought he would want it. if he's a blood, then he's got to drink the real Budweiser.
Clud Light. Clud Light.
See, we didn't even think of that. So it's when you were still like doing the school and college thing. Did you feel? Was it like fun? Like, oh, this is tight that I'm like managing both lives, or were you just starting to feel like I'm just staying up late, getting up early to go to class, this is not gonna work.
Yeah, bro, like I was just wasn't taking care of myself, just like fully extending myself. Like you can't be like 100% on two things, you know? It's like, or you're just gonna burn out. So that made me realize, like, I loved everything about school except the schoolwork. So it was like once that was off the plate, I could go to the studio and still come back and kick it with my friends and everything like that. Get like the best of both worlds.
Yeah. So have you been like on the road and stuff, or you find a lot of opportunities where you gotta go perform, you gotta go show up in different places and shit?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy. I just got off tour with Landon Cube
at
the end of October.
Who said he hasn't smoked weed in a month.
It's true.
You didn't smoke with him on that tour?
Well, he like quit after tour, but like, okay. Or like during tour, somewhere in the period.
I couldn't believe it when he said that.
Props to him.
My whole time knowing him and Skies, they have always been some of the most heavy like constantly smoking.
Yeah.
Like it never stops.
I don't know. Like it's just like you get caught in a haze eventually.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to step out of it.
I don't blame him for wanting to take a step back. It was actually weird reading that he stopped and I was just thinking, I'm like, damn, I could really stop.
Do you think you'll ever?
Well, I feel like my thing right now is that I'm being so restrictive with my diet and exercise that it's like the spliffs are the only thing that I really got left.
No backwards anymore?
I mean, I'll still, if somebody rolls a backward, I'll hit it, but I never roll it for myself anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Healthy. So.
What, you're on the backwards?
Nah. That was like senior year heavy, but it kind of fucked up my voice. Like,
really?
It's like the worst thing about Valentino, about it blowing up, is that I can't sing that song the same way that I did when I recorded it.
Really? Because like, it's so high pitched?
I was like 17, bro. I just turned 19 two days ago.
That's crazy.
So I hit puberty kind of late. You know, I was still riding that prepubescent high voice shit, but now it's like, I can't do it the same way.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you feel like pressure now to make songs that sound like Valentino, or do you feel like you want to go in another direction now?
Definitely want to go in another direction. I'm probably like the most eclectic artist that I know, like in similar ways to X was. Like when I create my music now, I want every single song to sound different. My project is dropping tomorrow night, Thursday night.
How many songs is it?
8 songs.
Okay, so it's not like a full album, it's like EP type
EP,
thing?
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like 5 new ones, but the thing I'm most proud of is that none of the songs sound the same. Like,
really?
I'll play you some shit after this too, but like we got like the song called City of Angels. It sounds like an old like Weezer Nirvana song.
Oh,
and then
word.
We got The Gram with Fetty Wap that's like tropical, like trap type stuff. And it just like Been Here Before, which is like a pop song. It's like all over the spectrum.
For sure. How'd you tap in with Fetty Wap? How'd that go down?
Just do like label stuff.
Okay.
Bro, it's so hard to get features as an artist.
You think?
When I first signed, I was like, I'm a sign. Like, I can get anybody I want. The label will just get it. Nah, you got to pay like a lot of bread or know them.
Really?
Yeah, like these fees are super high.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Wow, yeah. It's kind of like rappers too, when it comes to dealing with like brand new artists, they're like, you know, they sort of like feel like if they're gonna help you get hot, like from a perspective where like none of their fan base really knows about you yet, then it's like they better tax you, you know?
Yeah.
And even if it's not them, it's gonna be the manager or the label getting between it and making sure that they get whatever they can get, you know?
Yeah, and I respect it because it's like, you know, everyone's trying to make money at the end of the day, and it's like, there's no reason why you should help me out if I'm just some random kid that you don't know.
Right.
But it's like, you know, it can be frustrating at first, but once you pop off, everyone wants to do everything with you.
Right. Did you do that video with Landon while you were on tour?
Which video? The pretty one?
Yeah.
Oh, we did that. I think we did that like a little bit before tour, but that was like a funny ass video.
Oh,
We did like some random spa in Van Nuys.
Yeah, I was interested in that. I was like wondering if you've ever actually done the spa shit for real, since I'm sure in that moment you were just acting.
Bro, I love the spa. I love the spa. Yo, all you people out there, make sure to take care of yourself, treat yourself.
That's real.
I don't think people hear that enough.
Yeah.
Like, it's all about grind, grind, grind. And yeah, you got to grind, but life is about balance.
Oh, yeah, man. When I think about it, like, so many times in my life where I've just, like, run myself into the ground for, like, 6 months or a year straight, and then you go on vacation for a few days, and you're just like, oh, my God, right.
Yeah.
This is what it feels like to be a human being.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it's just like, brings you back to like you know, you just wear yourself down. You don't even realize you're doing it because you think that you're just living.
Yeah, but for us it's kind of hard to go on vacation. Like emails are always going to be there. Yeah. Like it's really like a lifestyle.
Yeah, the emails always be there and stuff, but then once you're on vacation you start to realize like, oh shit, I spend every fucking day working my ass off trying to get all this shit done. But then I go on vacation for a couple days and it's not like everything falls apart.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
very true.
To some extent, the amount of effort you put into what you're doing is, you know, sometimes you just sort of like create busy work for yourself. Like if you're the type of person who checks how many followers they have like multiple times a day, it's like that might not take that long, but like that combined with all the other random shit you're doing on Instagram, you're basically treating Instagram like a part-time job.
Yeah.
And I say this as a person who has definitely been in that position many times, you know? Yeah, just, I don't know. I think it's very important to like prioritize what you give up your brain space to, you know?
Yeah, facts.
Okay, so you're still in school or is that over now?
Well, I still have the email, but like I'm on a leave of absence, which means I can go back whenever I want in the next 10 years. So I might like slide back when I'm 28, just finish my business degree.
Is USC that lit?
Yeah, USC is lit.
That's tight.
I would be there as a 28-year-old, like going to all the parties. I'd just be the random guy.
Yeah, if I wasn't a 35-year-old fossil, that would make sense to me. I was, you know, I was listening to a song the other day. Juicy J was like, he said, like, I don't go to college, but the dorm room is my domain. And I was just like, Juicy J, you're like 45. Like, if I saw you, like, you're Juicy J, so it's whatever. But if I saw Juicy J in a dorm room, I'd be like, Juicy J, you need to go. This is not okay, bro. You, if there was a photo of me in a dorm room, I feel like it would look so sus.
Yeah, yeah. Because, like, what, she can't go to your crib or something like that?
You know?
She got an essay due late tomorrow. She got to get right back to the studying or something.
Yeah, like, that's one of the funniest things that I ever saw exposed was, shout out to my man Chris Brown, but it was like a girl, like, had, like, some girl in the hood had Chris Brown pull up to her crib to fuck or whatever, and she just Snapchatted a photo of him sitting on this mattress in a garage. And he was like, it was definitely him. He's wearing, like, the same, like, fancy designer jacket that he had on the day before an award show or some shit, and everybody was cooking him on the timeline, and I just couldn't believe it. I'm like, I cannot believe Chris Brown would still do some regular ass shit. He's like pulling up to fucking Compton to smash in a garage.
Maybe, you know, you got to humble yourself sometimes.
When's the last time you fucked in a garage?
I've never had sex in a garage.
Never did that.
I've never even had, like,
sex
outside. Yeah, I'm a virgin, yo. I'm a born again virgin.
It's possible. You're young as fuck.
Nah. Trust me. Okay. Trust me.
You be piping? All right,
yeah,
cool.
I'm in college, man. I'm a rapper in college.
And you're light skinned.
And I'm light skinned. Shout out Drake.
That must go crazy. What's that like?
It's like, it's kind of gets overwhelming to a point where, like, because a lot of girls is just Instagram DMs and stuff like that. But it's like, I'm getting so many DMs. Like, I was just saying the other day, like, I need, like, an assistant or, like, somebody to manage my love life. Just, like, schedule it out, you know, build a rotation, something like that.
God damn, that's got to be stressful.
Really, I'm just looking for a sugar mama.
Yeah, and you're not going to find that at USC, huh? You got to branch out.
I think, you know, I might get lucky. There's, like, some rich girls there.
Oh, yeah, rich girls. That's a good point.
Rich girls.
I know. Damn.
Got your daddy Amex card.
But all the young girls, including the young rich girls, in my opinion, are all, like, trying to get into being sugar babies.
Yeah. I'm just trying to flip the script.
You hear that from, like, young girls all the time?
Oh, yeah. Everyone's like, it's crazy, man. But these girls aren't really down, though. They just want to go on there and then be like, oh, shit, like, 1,000 people messaged me. I can actually do this.
Right.
And then I think it's more validation than anything.
It's just crazy for me to imagine you being in college because it's such a weird type of girl who is, like, fresh out of high school, she's like 19, 20. She's just getting drunk for the first time, having fun, wanting to go crazy. I don't know. That's just like, that's so, like, separate in my brain because I never really had that college experience.
Yeah.
Like, so I can't even, like, imagine. It sounds crazy. You know, you see all these fucking movies. You see, like, American Pie your whole life. And you're like, so that's just
seems lit.
Crazy.
Would you be a sugar baby if you were in their position?
I mean, that's the problem. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, bro. It's free money. This is my theory, right? If you're a female, it doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter. I mean, you should be 18 and plus, like, or else it's illegal.
That's
but, like,
good
you
point.
Should never have no money because you could always sell pictures of your feet online and somebody would buy them. Somebody out there would buy them.
It's so crazy. It's just such a huge percentage of girls think that that's totally normal now. And it's like, you know, like, my girl does it. She does fucking great. But she made that decision when she was, like, 25.
Yeah.
I meet chicks sometimes who are, like, 18, 19, and they're hella deep in the private snap game. And I'm just like, wow. Like, you've really made this decision 100%, and you're, like, barely an adult.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Mm. That's why I said selling feet pictures, because, you know, it's like, it's for the weirdos out there. You know, if you got a feet fetish, that's on you. You know, do your thing.
You're not into that?
All love, no judgment.
No foot stuff?
Nah, only, like, toenails, just the toenails.
If you get a girlfriend, you should start exploring her feet. That's my honest opinion.
But, like, there's nothing there. It's just some toes.
I mean, it's just a pussy. It's just a dick.
Yeah, but, like,
they got, like, more nerve endings in them.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
But still, you know, it's like your foot has some nerve endings.
But, like, so does your fingers.
You ever get your foot tickled?
Yeah, my feet are, like, mad ticklish, though. Not gonna lie. Yeah.
It's like if you could tickle a foot, then there's got to be something in between that is, like, halfway to tickling, halfway to, like, pleasure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. When I get a girlfriend, I'll
bring this up. What is up with the song "Bitch, I Go to USC"?
Bitch, I go to USC.
That song, is that like an anthem on campus?
Yes,
or something?
Bro. It's crazy.
I found it on the SoundCloud. I'm like, what is this?
Did you see the video too?
No.
All right, so there's a video shot at USC, like the frats, the campus. And what's great about that song is everybody that's on that song, everybody that worked on the video all goes to USC too.
Wow.
So it's like, not just me promoting it, it's the other two kids, it's the videographer, the director. And it's like every single party you go to, "Bitch, I Go to USC" comes on.
So do you kind of feel like you're, like,
I'm the
doing
people.
It for the community there. Like, they really got your back. That's a big part of where your core is coming from.
Yeah, that's like a big reason why I wanted to go to USC in the first place. It's like, I'm gonna get to live with my target demographic for like, because I thought I was gonna be doing school way longer. Like, right. This really surprised me. But I was like, I get to live with them and know exactly what they like. And like, if I pop off, they're all gonna have my back. And right. That's really how it's been. Shout out USC.
I've already specified that I am not going to go to USC because I'm scared of looking like a weirdo. But now, after doing this interview and hearing your relationship with them, I'm like, damn, now I feel like I'm lit at USC too.
You should pull up to a tailgate, like a little football thing. That'd be mad funny.
Oh, that would be funny as fuck. I'll show up with no shirt on and my face painted and shit.
Yeah, it's a disguise. No one will know who you are.
Tailgate ain't weird.
Just vlog it. Yeah,
I just got to keep my girlfriend by my side so it doesn't look like I'm on some fucking like creepy ass like teacher hanging out after, you know?
Come and see me after class.
That one teacher that just goes to all the parties.
He would be that teacher.
Is that
he
would be. Does that teacher. Exist?
Well, like a couple years ago, I think our dean or something like that of one of the schools, like he got busted like doing mad yay with like the like some prostitutes or some shit like that.
Oh my God. See, that's like, I think that throughout the 70s and 80s and 90s, that it was like probably super common to be a school, a professor in college and be fucking your students.
Yeah. That's probably just like regular. And now all those people, you know, they got their like, what's it called? Tenure? They can't get fired. So they're like, all right, shit's cool.
2019, though, that is not a good idea.
Nah, you're gonna get me too'd and all that stuff. Yeah.
It's over.
No bueno.
Okay. I was just looking at my questions here. Shit. Like just in terms of your overall reaction or growing up in San Francisco, what was that like? Because it's such like a rapidly changing place.
Every time I go back home, it looks different, bro. It's like, I feel like it's not even like recognizable to me. There's certain things that are, but I would say growing up was really interesting. San Francisco is the type of city where this is a real fact, there's more dogs than kids in San Francisco. So if you're in high school and you're like,
a lot.
Yeah, people fucking with their dogs.
Because, you know, rich white people love dogs.
They love dogs.
Just anybody who got money is just like, damn, I'm going to get me a dog.
It's like another kid, but like kind of like slightly less work.
Yeah. But they're not the types of people, they're so focused on their career that they're not the types to have a kid. They're the type to get a dog. They're like halfway into that. It's like the dog takes the place of the kid.
Exactly. But you can like leave it at home for 4 hours and you won't get child protective services called.
Dogs are fucking crazy though. Dogs will tear your house apart while they're gone. My cat don't do shit. Once in a while they'll poop on something, but.
That's chill.
This dog is chill as fuck.
I like this dog. It's Cardi, right?
Yeah, we gotta start putting them in the vlogs more, I think.
Yeah, it's a cute dog. Mm. The girls will love it. Like, there's more dogs than kids there, so if you're the type of person that's, like, social, in high school, everyone's gonna know you. So that was really good for my music, because I was, like, popular already, just, you know, off personality, being funny and pretty light-skinned kid or whatever. Mm. And then from there, like, when I started releasing music, like, it just spread, like, virally kind of within the high schools there, so that definitely helped.
Yeah, it's interesting because like when I think about a lot of like shit that's popping in the Bay, I think about it just being straight up like gangster shit.
Yeah, but so people are ready for some different shit.
Yeah, I mean that's because a lot of that shit is like you understand why it is dope and stuff, but then at the same time it's like it can only really go so far in terms of appealing, because like as like the Bay is just its own fucking world where there's all these rappers that like almost nobody's fucking heard of outside of that area who are just like can still do 1 million, 2 million views on like a diss track about some guy down the street.
Dead ass, bro. It's like you can be popping in the Bay and make a whole career off that without ever having to do anything else. But I just saw that and I was like, that's too small for me. Like, I'm really just trying to be popping on a global scale.
Yeah, definitely. Makes sense to me. So tell anything about you that, like, stands out that the people out there should know about. You got any, like, secret hobbies, anything we need to know about?
Like I was saying earlier, I used to do commercial acting as a kid. Mm. So, like, I was in, like, Mad Lunchables commercials.
Whoa.
Blue Diamond, Almond, like, Honda, Toyota. They, like, some of them got, like, played during the World Series for baseball and the Olympics.
Wow.
And that was, like, that was my first exposure to, like, fame in a sense, because, like, kids would come in, like, elementary school, middle school. Yo, I saw you on TV last night.
Really?
So I kind of just got used to it, and I feel like this is kind of, was just, like, a natural thing that was supposed to happen.
That must have been trippy.
Yeah. What else is cool about me? My mom and dad, they were both, low-key, like, model, high-key models.
Right.
And they,
like real big-name models or something?
Not, like, super big-name, because it was before social media. Mm. So unless you were, like, who's the...
But they were doing, Cindy like, Crawford. Big jobs.
Yeah, like, huge runway stuff all over the world. So they did that, like, for 10 years. That's how they fell in love with each other.
So I'm assuming that they were probably, like, interesting people that care about music and art and stuff. So is that kind of what led you in the direction of being interested?
Yeah, 100%. Like, my mom put me on to Kanye West when I was in, like, middle school. My dad put me on to, like, B.I.G. And, like, they used to, like, play the Michael Jackson Greatest Hits music video VHS for me, like, on loop all day.
Wow, that's an education right there.
Yeah, so shout out my parents. They really did a great job.
Yeah, my parents played a lot of Marvin Gaye when I was a kid. I remember a lot of Marvin Gaye, a lot of, like, Michael Bolton.
Who's Michael? I haven't heard of Michael Bolton. I know Michael.
The whitest person on earth. Literally, there's nobody whiter than Michael Bolton.
I'm trying to think of somebody whiter than Michael
Great
Bolton.
Man, though.
That's
great,
a very white name.
Great American.
Troy Bolton. Zac Efron.
Zac Efron. Yeah, he might be more white.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. But Michael Bolton's up there, though, for sure. Yeah. Kenny G, actually, as a kid. You know, Kenny G's on the new Kanye album. He plays what, the fucking saxophone?
So, oh, yeah. I know who that is. Yeah,
he just straight up shows up on the Kanye album and just spits a freestyle on his saxophone and then just is out. And just like, I bodied y'all.
That's like some shit only Kanye could do, though. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, I bet Kenny G probably ain't picking up the phone for like Hoodrich Pablo Juan. I'm gonna be totally honest.
Yo, I need you on some shit.
Yo, Kenny G, I need you on this track. He's just like, I'm sorry, man. I just don't think my audience is gonna understand.
It would be fire if Kenny G and Kenny Beats did something together.
Oh my God. I wonder if they thought about
Kenny
that.
Squared. Yo, I need my 10%, yo.
Bro, but I'm just trying to imagine like if Kenny G could ever understand why it would be cool for him to do something with Kenny Beats.
How old is he?
Kenny G?
Yeah.
Probably well into his 50s, maybe 60s.
Okay, there's some cool 60-year-olds out there.
Well, if anybody, if Kenny G's your uncle or anything, let him know
yeah.
that we need an interview, that he should definitely go on The Cave.
The Cave, Kenny G on The Cave. I'm with that.
That'd be incredible. Yeah, so what do you got coming up?
So project is coming out on Thursday night, Friday, nice. Called Dropped Out of College, because I kind of dropped out of college.
It's good.
What else is going on?
It's not the college dropout. He dropped out of college.
Exactly. You know, shout out to Kanye.
It's been a
long time. Right there.
Yeah, it's been like 20 years.
Yeah, you're fine.
Yeah.
What else? I'm probably going to do, I'm going to become the face of male hygiene. You know, we got that skincare line coming out.
So you've actually taken steps to work on that?
No.
but it seems like a good idea.
No, yeah. There's like the most preliminary steps in terms of like figuring out partnerships and stuff like that. But like, I ain't talking to nobody in China. I ain't getting nothing from my face yet, no samples. But it's all like these next 2 weeks is when everything's going to happen.
I mean, hey, if Kylie can sell her fucking makeup line for $1.2 billion.
That's what I'm saying. I got you. I'll get you some samples. No
Jumper Cosmetics.
No Jumper Cosmetics. A little collab.
Anything's possible, right?
Hey.
Me and Shane. Me and Jeffree Star.
Basketball Orange.
You like Jeffree Star?
I don't like. He's just he's like the makeup. Was he on RuPaul's Drag Race or no?
Was he? I guess probably, right?
I don't know. I don't know much about that culture.
Yeah, that's I guess all right. So the project's on the way.
Yeah.
Makeup line on the way.
Yeah. Something like that.
Deodorant or like
deodorant, body wash, body spray.
The old spray or the Old Spice collab might be a look, help get you in the game.
Yeah, it might be a good entry point, but like, I don't want to.
Ultimately, you're coming for all the
exactly.
marbles.
Exactly, I'm trying to take all of them down and just make it my shit.
I stand.
Thank you. Would you like?
Oh yeah.
A little product placement right
well,
there.
Well, to be honest, my hygiene needs are really, really like in need of an upgrade
cool.
because I pretty much have a bar of green soap, and when I get into the shower, that is literally the only thing that I interact with besides the water.
No, I feel you. Do you don't have like a loofah or nothing?
My girl's always trying to tell me like about the loofah, and I'm like, why do I need that? Like, what am I gonna scrub
nah,
my
trust,
skin?
Yeah, trust. You scrub yourself. But I was the same way. I had this bottle like 18-in-1 Trader Joe's soap, and like every time I went to the shower, I'd take it from the bathroom and bring it into the shower. And every time I had to wash my hands, I had to bring it from the shower
right.
into the bathroom.
I
it's
respect
a struggle.
That for sure.
It's
yeah,
a struggle.
You know you're a G if you get the floor wet in your bathroom because you run out of soap and you just have to walk out and get the bar of soap from the hand
facts.
Soap.
Yeah, thanks.
So they get the squirt hand soap and you have to try to like get as much as you can.
Everyone's been there before.
I've been on so many like BMX road trips over the years where I was like drying off with my dirty shirt from the day before, you know, no soap. Like you're trying to fucking eke out the last little bit out of the bottle. Like just the worst quality fucking standard of living imaginable.
Yeah, I didn't realize like how like wild like tour is, like how just kind of like you're in survival mode on tour.
Yeah.
And we crashed our bus too like 3 days in.
Really? How bad?
Oh, like we were in Suburbans after that because we were in this place called Corsicana, Texas, driving from, I think it was Austin to Atlanta. And we were in like the far right lane and this huge 18-wheeler just like taps us. And I remember like sitting facing the front of the bus and I'm like, all right, here's the road through the windshield. And then it's like, oh shit, here's grass. Oh shit, here's a telephone pole. We're going to die. No regrets. And then we go through the telephone pole and go under it. Cause it's like one of those breakaway poles, and then like snaps down, and there's sparks everywhere. Landon was in the back of the van. I turn around and I see him. He's in the front of the van now too. Like he like flew. He flew. All the food is gone. Like the fridge is open. Everything is out, and like we smell fire because the sparks from the pole made all the grassland on fire, and I think the car's on fire. So everyone gets out the car. And then we're just kind of stranded for a couple hours until we get the Suburbans.
Holy shit, that is like the ultimate thing that you worry about on tour because everybody's just doing shit, chilling on the bus and stuff. It's not like you're seatbelted in. You're like fucking smoking, eating, doing whatever. Jerking and then all off. Of a sudden, pow.
Yeah, it was
wow.
Wild. It was
that's
wild.
Fucking terrifying. And obviously, it wasn't even really the driver's fault. It was somebody else's fault.
No, it was someone. But they tried to say it was our fault. So, you know, we might get a check off that, like a little lawsuit type vibes.
Good, man. That's a lick. That's a brand deal right there.
Oh, yeah.
Fire. Yeah, that's a good story. You should lead with that one next time. The almost dying thing. That's good.
Thanks for the advice.
You saved that for the very end.
I had to. You know, got to keep watch till the end for a surprise.
That's a good one, though. Shit. 24K. Appreciate you, man.
Adam 22. My Adam 24.
Coolest podcast in the world. Check us on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. Like, comment, subscribe. NoJumper.com if you want to support. Go tell your local dispensary that you want the No Jumper Kush, especially all your USC grads. Appreciate y'all.